I filled my dining room with jars and really focused on helping others give back. And through that process, it helped to heal me.
Hi friends, it's Jason Wright. In 2005, I wrote a little novel called Christmas Jars. The book was about a very simple tradition of a family taking a glass jar, filling it with spare change all year long, and then giving that jar away anonymously to someone in need. Over the years, I have heard thousands of stories of people around the world who have given and received Christmas jars in real life. These are stories of real everyday people with real needs who experience real miracles. I am so thrilled to be joined by Lori Tinsley. She's coming to the podcast today from just outside Indianapolis. Lori, how are you?
I'm great. It's good to be here. There's nothing I like to do more than talk about Christmas jars.
Well, and I know that. I testify that is true. I've spent a lot of time with Lori since we met nearly 20 years ago. We have had some adventures around Christmas jars, haven't we, Lori?
We have. And talking and getting ready for this podcast brought back a lot of great memories and makes me want to do it all over again.
I think it's important for people to just know how this all began. Can you take us back to 2005?
I can. I was working at a local bookstore, and a gentleman came in and asked me if we had a copy of the book Christmas Jars. We did not, and so I ordered him a copy. And in reading the summary of what the book was about, I ordered myself a copy. And after reading that book, I wasn't sure what, but I knew that it was going to play a big part in my life in the coming years. I realized that I had been looking for a way to give back to people, and I didn't have a lot of money. I couldn't write the big check. I wanted my kids to learn how to give back. And so I introduced them to this concept of putting change in a jar, and at the end of the year, we would sit down as a family and decide who in our lives needed a little bit of hope. We started to do that. The kids were young, and we would talk about people that we had seen. I wanted them to start living 364 days with their eyes open and their hearts open and their ears open to the people around them. So it changed my life in that way, in that I realized at that time that I could be the light for someone else. I could help somebody else, not with a big check, but with a jar of change left on their doorstep.
So, do you remember who you gave your first jar away to with your little ones?
I believe the first jar we gave to was a gentleman who was homeless. I put the kids in the car and we drove down to Indianapolis and we drove around the city for, I'm thinking, probably an hour. The kids could not decide who they wanted to give it to. We came upon a gentleman who was sitting on the corner in a wheelchair with no legs, and they decided that he was going to be the recipient. We got out of the car and we approached him and gave him our first jar and talked to him for a few minutes, and then got back in the car and drove away, and they thought it was the best thing in the world. It was like Christmas to them, giving that jar to a man who obviously was in need.
So a few years pass, and in 2009, you reached out to me with what was one of the craziest things I had ever heard, your big idea. Talk to us about that.
The movement is about giving jars to people who are in need, but I was more focused on gathering people and introducing them to what I had experienced, and that was the feeling and the joy and the hope that I felt myself in giving jars out. So my jar was important to one person, but my real mission was to gather people and to give out 1,001 jars. So not me giving out 1,001 jars, but finding 1,001 people to give out jars across the country. And it was in May, so we had a very short period of time, and you thought I was crazy, and my family thought I was crazy. So I went on a mission and I reached out to as many people as I could, because obviously I don't know 1,001 people. This concept of giving back was not a hard concept to sell, lack of a better word. So I built a network around here in Ohio where my family is. I was reaching out to book groups. We had book groups that would come into the store, and I spoke at a lot of nonprofit organizations and schools and wherever I could. I was able to get children involved at the elementary school level. I started out with the idea of just finding 1,001 people to give away jars. And as I saw it start to roll, I had another idea. And I thought, well, what if we had at least one jar in all 50 states? And so my mission expanded to not just finding 1,001 people, but let's try to find somebody in all 50 states. It was truly one of the best times in my life being part of something like that and getting so many people involved in Ohio, in New York, in California, and I mean, everywhere. And at one point I just said, hey, does anybody, you know anybody that lives in New Mexico? And I'd get that information and we'd proceed.
There must be so many individual stories that stand out. Can you share a couple with us?
Yeah, so I had a lady call me on the phone. I've never met her. I don't know how she got my name or my number, but she was a victim of Hurricane Katrina, and she had lost everything in the hurricane. And she called and asked me if I would send her a jar because she had a couple that had helped her through this devastating storm. And here she is, she has nothing left, everything is gone, but that was her way of thanking these people who had helped her get through what had to have been just a horrific situation for her. I never talked to her again. I got an address from her. I sent her a copy of the book and a jar. And it was just remarkable to me that somebody who's lost everything isn't looking for a jar, but they're looking to give away a jar. And that has always stuck with me.
I love that you have no idea how she tracked you down, but she does. And you respond. That's wonderful.
I remember another one that's a little bit more humorous. I took a little boy, maybe 6 or 7, up to give away his first Christmas jar. And we were standing at the front door. I had planned it all out. I told him what he needed to do. And he said, I'm not putting that up there. And I said, you need to put that jar on the front porch and ring the doorbell and we'll run. And he said, I'm not doing it. You do it. I said, no, you do it. And as we're arguing, the dog starts to bark. And obviously we're going to get caught. So I ring the doorbell and the little boy screams as loud as he can, run. And he turns and takes off, and I turn and forget that I'm on a front porch and face plant right off the front porch in the front yard. So the ones where we're a little injured, we do remember those as well.
Oh, I love that.
You know, we've done really, really simple things. We've just pulled into a parking lot of a shopping center, and we've looked around for the most beat up, you know, disabled car that we could find. And tried the doors. And if the door was open, we would leave a jar on the front seat of that car, hoping that whoever was returning would benefit from a little bit of hope and joy on that front seat. I have a very, very, very best friend who unfortunately lost her oldest son to suicide. I gathered maybe 15 people and quietly walked over to her house and one by one went up and put a jar on her front porch. We waited until they were all in place and rang the doorbell. And we watched from afar as they stood on their front porch and received these 10 to 15 jars. She had great loss, and these jars gave her just the reassurance that people were seeing her and that we knew how much pain she was in. And I know that she took those 15 jars, actually, and turned around and paid them forward to somebody else. I kept a little black book that I tracked everyone, every person, and I numbered the jars that I gave away. So I knew exactly where I was at any given time. And then my little black book filled up, and at 1,300 jars, I quit tracking. It's hard to put a true total number on that, but I do know for sure that there were 1,300 jars in 13 countries and 50 states. But it's not the jars to me that is so rewarding. It's the number of people It's the number of people that I was able to reach out to and give them the opportunity to experience being an angel for somebody else.
A few months, 1,300 jars, 50 states, 13 countries, literally thousands of lives changed as a result of your goodness.
But my life changed the most during that time. I had started down a very painful journey. My mother had had a major stroke, and I was getting ready to go through a very emotional and painful divorce after almost 30 years of marriage. And it gave me the opportunity to focus on something other than myself and my own issues and my own heartbreak. I filled my dining room with jars and really focused on helping others give back. And through that process, it helped to heal me. I was exposed to stories and families and situations that were far worse than what I was going through. And it helped me put things in perspective.
You call this a mission. Do you feel like God was leading you to this, knowing this storm that you were about to go through?
I always believe that he has a hand in everything. And I think it was his way of showing me that if I help others, I will also help myself. And that's exactly what happened. I think I was a very selfish person, and not intentionally, but my focus was always me, or my family. And it absolutely changed my focus. And I continue, like I said before, with my eyes and ears wide open, my heart open. And there are opportunities throughout the year where I have seen a need and given a jar in July or August. You know, it doesn't have to be during the holidays, but it's opened my eyes to the needs that are going on right now around me. And if it's there, I act. And my hope and desire is that I can change that person's life, even if it's just for a day or a week, to know that there have been plenty of times where I've wanted to give up too during those tough times. And I think knowing that somebody is there can get somebody through the next day.
Lori, thank you so much for sharing this. I could talk to you all day, but I know you probably have jars to go give away.
Right, I do. Appreciate you letting me take some time to not just share, but to kind of relive those memories, which were life-changing.
The Christmas Jars podcast is hosted by Jason Wright and produced by Brian Tanner and Wendy Folsom. Our executive producer is Sam Payne. Thank you to our guest Lori Tinsley for sharing your story. If you're looking for more ways to serve this Christmas season, then the annual Light the World campaign can give you a lot of ideas about how you can be someone's angel. Visit lighttheworld.org to learn more. The Christmas Jars podcast is a production of BYU Radio.